saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, and rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Father, this morning, I just pray right now as we study your word. And Lord, we consider the subject, Lord, miracles for everyday life. And Lord, we consider another passage of scripture that you have taught us and that you have given to us through the inspiration of your word. Lord, I pray that we recognize today your miraculous working power in our lives, and we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me just kind of begin at this place. There's probably some of you that in America we have freedom of speech. And one of the problems with freedom of speech is that we have the privilege of complaining and grumbling. And we exercise it a lot. Us as Americans, we like to exercise our full freedom, and we like to grumble and complain as much as we can. But biblically, we got to understand that how many of you know the Lord? He doesn't like that a whole lot. He's not so much into grumbling, and he's not so much into complaining, and it talks about that through God's word. And so this week I was going through my week and I was half contemplating complaining about something. And so I wasn't complaining, but I was on the border. I was on the edge. Anybody ever been there? Get the words out of my mouth. Anybody ever been there? I was on the border. And I was like teetering. Should I complain or should I not? And here was the crux of my, maybe call it question. It wasn't quite a complaint or grumbling. It was kind of a question to God. I said, God, I'm speaking about the miraculous. And how come we don't see more of the miraculous? That was kind of my question. It wasn't to the complaint side. And so I'm moseying to the office on Friday morning. And the best way to describe this is our son Wesley, when he was about 5 or 6, we were in our house in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and he was 5 or 6, and so we had a driveway. It wasn't too long of a driveway. You could maybe fit 2 cars long in the driveway. And we told him, 5 or 6 years old, he's on his tricycle. I said, don't go out of the driveway. So one day, Sue and I are in our kitchen window, we could see our driveway. And so we're looking at Wesley, and he's on his trike. And at the end of the driveway, you know how it breaks from the concrete of your driveway into the asphalt of the street, and there's a line. So one day, soon I look out the window, and here is Wesley. He has got one wheel in the driveway on the cement and one wheel in the asphalt. I said, Sue, look at that. That's how my week was. Maybe you get that way too, with complaining and grumbling. You kind of got like, okay, I'm not going to grumble and complain. God, I want to be thankful. And where do I? And we're vacillating on this line. So I'm driving to church on Friday morning, and I'm kind of asking God this question, say more. And this is after Sunday morning. Johnny Harsh, there up in Door County, not here this morning. He comes up to me after Sunday morning. He says, Pastor, he says, the last couple weeks, he said, my back, he was just almost flat on his back with back pain. He says, my back is totally clear. He says, it's gone. I have no more pain. So I come to the office, and after driving down Highway 41, asking God these kind of questions, and I'm on the borderline of complaint in question. And I get to the office, and so Jim Olson comes to see me. And we were chatting, and Jim, come here a second, I need you. And he doesn't know I'm doing this, so anyway. Beware telling me good things, okay? Okay, so Jim comes to my office, and so this is how God deals with us in our questions, okay? So he comes to my office, and he tell us the condition you came to church in last Sunday morning.
Last Sunday morning, before I came here, the whole week was my head had a lot of pressure in it. I have tinnitus, and that was just as loud as could be, and it just drove me crazy. I even mentioned to Mary, can I take the top of my head off and get that brain out? It was so painful. But that's not the only pain that I had. I had pain in my back that I had. It was hard for me to do things, and I would get dizzy, and I just had a bunch of things that were going on. And last Sunday we were singing that new song.
Just let me back up. Did you walk in with a back brace last Sunday morning?
Yes, I had a back brace on. I wear that every now and then because of the pain, and it holds everything together. Anyway, we were singing that new song that we were all learning for the first time again. And what was the name of that song?
He Touched Me.
He Touched Me. And as we were singing that song, my eyes just filled with tears. And I felt in my back, right where the pain was, and I saw where God was touching me. There was a little spark right in the back, just like an electrical shot right in my back. And the pain was gone. And I got up, and then we had the end of the service, and I just wanted to confirm it. And Dick and Gail were up front, and I came and prayed, and I just wanted to worship and thank God for what he had done, that they prayed for me. And all week long, the pain, there's no more pain there. Yeah. The pressure off my head is gone. Yeah. I still have that tinnitus, that ringing in my ears. I don't know, but it's not as loud as it was before. So yeah. God touched
me. Hey, can we give God a praise for that? Isn't that awesome, everybody?
So, hey, I walk in the same pants that all of you do in this room. And so, to my little question, I no longer got to the office. And God said, I'll take care of that. Listen to this. And so, what a great story that Jim shared. So, God heals today. So, let me just take a little, a few moments here and just kind of review for a moment. And then I'm going to get into the passage this morning. So, I talked 2 weeks ago about circumstantial miracles from John chapter 2. And in there, we recognize that there was a circumstantial situation where Jesus' mother, turned to Jesus and said they run out of beverage at the wedding reception. And Mary turns to Jesus and said, would you help us with this? It was a circumstantial, just a logistical kind of miracle. And of course, we know the story that Jesus grabs, he says, fill the water pots with water. He turns the water into wine so that everybody was served and everybody have beverage. So what we learned that morning is that God cares about the details of your life. He can rearrange situations that are out of kilter, out of sync in your life, and that he can help with the arrangements of your life, the situations, the circumstances of your life, and he can do a miracle even with this, with things that say, God, do you even care about if everybody has a beverage at the wedding? God, do you care? And he showed that he cared. And I wanted to tell you this morning, he cares about the details of your life. It's nothing for you. You can go about your daily walk and your daily week, and you can say, do you all do this? I do it. Say, God, help me with this thing. I gotta maneuver over here. I gotta go over here. I gotta talk to this person. Do you ever do that? And say, God, help me with the details of my life. I want you to know from that story, we're talking about miracles, everyday kind of miracle, God cares about the details of your life, and he can arrange things for you to help you with the details of your life. How many are glad that we serve a God like that? He does. So circumstantial type miracles. And I shared the story of our daughter, who was 30 years old, had not met Mr. Wonderful, and God brought Mr. Wonderful into his life. And this morning, they were in church 10 hours ago, and anyway, her and Kenneth spoke at a Ignite session that they had on Friday night at their church in India. She's there and serving kids food, and just God's doing great things, so we're excited for that. But anyway, so God does those things in our life that are so important. So last Sunday morning, I took the time to establish the authority of the supernatural or the miraculous from Matthew chapter 8 and 9. So What I did is I took the time. A lot of times in Matthew 5 through 7 is the authority of Jesus teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, teaching. He talks about marriage. He talks about our character, talks about how not to worry and how to focus our thinking. So it is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. But what a lot of people neglect is, and what Bible scholars tell us, is in Matthew 8 through 9, he establishes the authority of the miraculous and the supernatural. And so I said this last Sunday morning that there's some churches that they'll just focus on the authority of Jesus' teaching from Matthew 5 through 7. And that's where they stay. That's where they camp. They're good churches. They love the Lord. There's some churches that will only camp on the Matthew 8 and 9 under the authority of Jesus, the miraculous, the supernatural, and they're not balanced. And they don't put so much under the authority of Jesus' teaching. I want us to be a healthy church that we focus on the authority of Jesus teaching. There's strong biblical teaching here, but there's also that we walk in the authority of the supernatural. And so we looked at five areas last Sunday morning briefly, and I really covered three of them, and I'm not even going to finish off the last two. But there were six healings in Matthew 8 and 9 that Jesus establishes authority from, everything from Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever to the centurion servant the girl had died. And he raised from the dead. So everything in between in the physical realm. But we talked about Jesus' authority over our physical bodies, over sickness and disease. Then we talked about, from verse 17, about Jesus' authority over pain and suffering, grief and sorrow. Because sometimes the pain is worse, and the grief and sorrow dealing with the struggle is worse than the sickness itself. And so we establish the authority over pain and suffering and grief and sorrow related to that from Matthew chapter 8 and 9. So, she's got it here. Look at this. That's what we talked about. So number three, here they are. Thank you, Chris. Jesus' authority to deliver from demonic influence. I ended the message there with that. And two or three instances from demonic influence deliverance it talked about there. How many of you know that there is demonic influence in our culture? There is. And we have, through the authority, not our authority, but through the authority of Jesus, we can exercise that authority through the authority of Jesus. He established that in Matthew 8 and 9 over demonic influence. And I'll tell you, when demonic influence comes into your life, there's something, the hair stands on the back of your neck, you feel tense and tight inside, and you can know it, you can feel it, you can sense it. But I want to tell you that Jesus can come and he can set free and he can deliver. Number four in that path is the authority over earth, nature, and storms. The Jesus and the disciples, they go out into the Sea of Galilee, a storm raises up, and what did Jesus do? He said, what? Peace be still. Maybe there's some of you that get you're going to travel this week and there's snow and there's stuff, weather coming. Can I tell you what? When you get concerned about all this stuff, can I tell you what? Jesus is sovereign. He has authority over all the weather patterns. He can say peace be still no matter what we face. Maybe you get all uptight with it and whatever the case. I want you to know that in those two chapters, Jesus established the authority even over nature to say to the storms, peace be still. And the last is, number five, is the authority relating to forgiveness. It's only Jesus that can forgive sins. The miracle that Jesus is the one that forgives our sins. How many of you walked in that miracle that he's forgiven your sins? How many of you walked in that miracle? Hallelujah. He set us free. He's given us freedom of life. And so we established that. So as a people, we want to be strong Matthew 5 to 7 people, but we want to be strong Matthew 8 to 9 people. So another way to say that is we want to be good, strong Matthew 5 to 9 people. Isn't that the way we want to say that? All of the three, all of that thing. And as we understand and we walk in God's way, in God's will, and that God can do miracles in our everyday life from circumstantial to all these other arenas where he can touch our life. So this morning, I just didn't sense I was going to just go on to a Thanksgiving message totally, and the Lord would not let me off this. The Holy Spirit would not let me off the subject. So one last, I want to cover this morning. It's so important. So I'm entitling this a subtitle, A Thanksgiving U-Turn today. A Thanksgiving U-Turn. So verse 11, he says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So let me just give you the scenario there. And you know, Israel's long. Really, if I was to stand over there, it'd be better on that wall and go that way. But just for sake of me standing right here and being in front of you, I'll So Jesus, in this passage, was probably coming from Nazareth, which is in the far north side of Israel. And there was two ways for them to get to Jerusalem. Let's say Jerusalem is where Pastor Chris is at and where Tony are at back there at the sound booth. And so they would travel these routes. The one route they would go was along the Jordan River. And let's say the Jordan River ran like along this chair line here, and they could walk. It was a very low level because the Dead Sea, the Jordan River would run from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is one of the lowest places on the planet. And so they could walk in that lowland, and they could walk along the Jordan River. And I was in the car, went that pathway. It's a road now for cars. But the mountains to the right where you guys are sitting, it's like there's just a little walkway, maybe 40, 50 yards. And when I say hills or mountains, they go straight up. I mean, they're nothing like here where we have gradual hills. I mean, and they're deserty. They're rocky. There's no vegetation in them. There's sand, there's dirt, there's silt, and they go straight up. You just can't navigate them. So when Jesus said they left Nazareth, or when Luke is recording this, a lot of times Jewish people, there's something they didn't want to deal with over there that I'll get to in a minute. They would, to stay clean, they would go this pathway and they would head to Jerusalem. That pathway still exists today. Many, and the path that Jesus took was through, he would leave Nazareth and go through Galilee, and which was first, and then he would go through Samaria before he got to Jerusalem. Okay, here's the problem, and here's where we're going to enter this story, is that as he traveled from Nazareth through Galilee, that's where the Sea of Galilee is, and he travels, there's passable ways to get through there. You actually go through Megiddo, and you go down through the land, which is not as low as it is over on that side, but it's passable. As they're traveling, there's one area that everybody had to go through, and it was an area in the middle section called Samaria. Samaria was always enemies of the Jews. They were considered foreigners. They were considered unclean. They were not like. So which path do you think Jesus went through? I already told you. He didn't choose that path. He chose this path. Because we know Jesus, he would hang out with sinners. He would hang out with the unclean. He would hang out with the foreigners. And so he was passing through Samaria when he comes to these 10 lepers. And as he comes up and we look at the next verse, we can see that he sees, he comes up to this area in a certain village, and what does it say? It says, then he entered a certain village, and there he met 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Because the lepers knew they had to stand afar off. They couldn't stand close because nobody could touch them. They had leprosy. It was a terrible, it was like external cancer. It was a skin-eating disease. It was very contagious. So these men stood afar. They knew, they'd heard about Jesus, but they stood afar off. We don't know in this mix of men, Bible scholars don't know if it was all Jews and at least one Samaritan, or they were all Samaritans that they saw him. We don't exactly know that. But the lepers would stay together, and so Jesus passes by, and so these lepers see him. And they see him, Jesus passing by. And so it takes me to my first point this morning is this, is the pleading. So these 10 men are standing afar off. They know they can't get near Jesus, near the disciples, but they're kind of foreigners, but they see the impact of Jesus, and they're looking at what he is doing, and they see him passing by, and they begin to plead. And it says in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. So in other words, they're over in the Samaritan area, and they're, hey, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That was their call. They're pleading. I dare say that some of you this morning in this room, there's something that you're pleading to Jesus about in your heart, in your life, something going on in your circumstances. Maybe in your life it's something financial. Maybe it's something physical in the realm of healing or in your physical body. Maybe it's in relational. Maybe some of you are dreading Thanksgiving this week to get together with family members because there's relational tension with siblings, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, whatever it is, and you're dreading this Thursday. And so there's something in this room that you are pleading. But notice the nature when these 10, they knew, they said Jesus. How many of you know there's power in the name of Jesus? There's power in the name of Jesus. They knew to call his name Jesus. And then they said these words. They said this word, Master. What did I just teach you last week? Jesus' authority to heal sickness, to heal pain, to deliver from the demonic realm, to calm storms. They knew enough about this person, Jesus. They said, Jesus, Master. Master. Can I tell you, when we come to the Lord and we ask for Jesus' help, utilize the name of Jesus. There's power in that name for your situation. Jesus, I need you. It doesn't have to be fancy. Jesus, I need you. But these 10 men, they said, Master. They knew that Jesus had the authority to heal. He had the authority to deliver. He had the authority to help. And they simply said this, have mercy on us. In the biblical terminology, the word mercy means kindness. There was no demand. They weren't looking at Jesus and say, Jesus, you better do this. They said, Jesus, they're pleading, would you show your kindness to us? There's maybe some of you right now in this room, you just need to say, Jesus, in some situation in your life, you're pleading with him, I just need your kindness in this situation, in my life that's going on. And I want you to know the kindness of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus is in this room to help you in your circumstance, your situation right now. He is here to help you. So the first thing we see is the pleading. The second is a word that starts with P, is the word proximity. It says in verse 14, it says, so when he saw them, Jesus saw the lepers. They were in the proximity of Jesus. He saw them. And how many of you know that, now we know that Jesus lives inside of our lives, right? He lives in our hearts when we invite Jesus into our heart and our lives. But how many of you know there's something different when two or three are gathered together in his name? How many know he's in the midst of us? There's something that when we gather together, that there's a presence of the Lord that's different than when we're by ourselves. Oh, the presence of the Lord is still sweet either way. But when we're together, there's something, and Chris acknowledged it, Pastor Chris acknowledged it this morning, that just when the presence of the Lord is together with us, the presence of the Holy Spirit's around us. And so when, now this is a different kind of miracle than the turning the water into the wine. This is different than Matthew 8 when Peter's mother-in-law, what did Jesus touch? He touched Peter's mother-in-law. She was healed. He touched the blind men in those chapters. They were healed. He touched the leper in Matthew 8, and that leper was healed. This one was different. They were in proximity of Jesus. Jesus never touched them. Because we think, okay, I'm never going to get healed if somebody doesn't touch me. If somebody doesn't, I don't go to church, have one of our leadership pray or pastor pray, then it's not going to happen. The beauty of this miracle is they were in the proximity of Jesus. And they called out to Jesus' name. Jesus saw them in the proximity. And Jesus heard them. Can I tell you what? We're in the proximity of Jesus this morning. As we're together, where two or three are gathered in his name, we are in the proximity of the healer, Jesus, this morning, being together with him. How many are glad you're in his proximity today? He sees you. He sees what's going on in your life. We're in his proximity this morning, and he is here to help us today. The third word, so pleading. The second word is proximity. The third is the word prognosis. So in this verse, it says in verse 14, it says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And it's like he's saying, okay, go show them. I'm going to show them what I can do. And then in the last part of the verse, it says, and so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus never touched them. It says, as they turned and went to the priest, and they turned and walked away from that Samaritan city and village area where they were and went towards the synagogue to the priest, it says, as they turned and walked away, it says they were cleansed completely. Their prognosis, they were 100% cleansed. All of the skin-eating leprosy, the white leprosy that was all over their body, as they walked away, it fell off their skin, and their skin became whole. They were 100% cleansed because Jesus was in their proximity. The prognosis was them for them was wonderful. They were cleansed. They were whole. They were healed 100%. So, now, the last P this morning is the word politeness. There's the pleading, there's the proximity, there was the prognosis, and there was the politeness. It says in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. In verse 6, and he fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. He turned around. So that word, he turned around. He made a 180-degree U-turn, and he turned to Jesus. And the others went on, and he says, I'm going to go back, and I want to thank Jesus for what he's done. One out of the 10 did the Thanksgiving U-turn. And man, I tell you what, you know, sometimes people do things for us, and sometimes we're really good. Some of you in this room are really good at being thankful. Some of you are really good at thank you cards. You're really good at thank yous. When Peter and Amanda came into church this morning, they had given us a Texas Roadhouse gift certificate for pastor appreciation. And so Sue and I went and used that Friday night. They came into church, and I said to Peter and Amanda, I said, thanks for, we went out to eat on your gift card on Friday night, Sue and I. So I wanted to thank them. But I want to say, sometimes, like you, I'm not always the best at writing out the, I mean, I love being blessed, but how many of you know it's sometimes hard to write out the thank yous? But there's something about this thankful spirit that goes a long ways. We went out with our neighbors, Greg and Kathy, on Monday night. And I mowed their lawn, and so they wanted to pay me back and take us out. And he said, don't fight over this bill. He says, I'm paying this bill. And I like this Thanksgiving, Christmas night. You get to go out to eat a lot. It's pretty good. And so we go out to eat, and so I said to Sue, we're getting later in the week. I said, Sue, we haven't thanked them yet for paying for our meal on Monday night. So yesterday, I made sure to get her. She didn't have Kathy's phone number, and texted them to say thank you. So in this man's life, this one Samaritan man, we don't know how many were Jews and how many were Samaritans, but this one foreigner, this one outcast, this one that they didn't see as unclean, he is the one that makes the Thanksgiving U-turn, and he goes back and he kneels down at Jesus' feet to glorify God and to thank Jesus. I got a question for you this morning on this Thanksgiving week. Do you in your life, is there some good things that the Lord's done in your life that you can come back to Jesus to today and you can say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life? Have you come back to him? And I know that you're a thankful people. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Let's just always keep that thankful spirit, that grateful spirit like this man. You know, this passage of scripture, I pray you never forget it, about the 10 lepers. It's a story about Thanksgiving. You know what? As I communicate God's word week after week, I'm less concerned that you hear my four P's this morning. I'm more concerned that you hear this story in your spirit that Jesus left with us today. You know that? For the rest of your life. Whenever it comes to Thanksgiving season, you know the pastor taught you this passage of scripture in Luke 17. A frog in my throat. And that, so that we understand this passage of scripture that... So we understand this passage of scripture that it's not like the circumstantial miracle. It's not like the healing where Jesus touched them. They saw from afar off and Jesus healed them. So this man, what a polite man, this foreigner, this outcast, what the politeness. He turns and he says, thank you. So as we read down, verse 17, it says, and Jesus said to him, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Jesus noticed this. He took note of the other 9. I pray this morning that Jesus isn't taking note of you because you're unthankful. I don't pastor that kind of people. But he took note of the other 9. He said, where are the other 9? Were they not healed too? And I'm going to show you something here. It says, were they not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, arise. Now he said to this one that did come back, he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, let's just talk about that for a moment. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. Just hold your hand here. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to show you three of the most impossible phrases in the Bible, but three of the most freeing phrases of the Bible. Okay? Can you handle that before we're done here? 1 Thessalonians 5, look at this. And there's several exhortations that Paul has given to the church at Thessalonica, and I can't go into the detail of the history of that. But all of 1 Thessalonians, and actually, if those of you doing chapter up, you're going to read this book this week. It is a book of gratefulness. It's a book of relief that Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. He was concerned for their welfare. They were the second church that he planted. And he was concerned for them, and he heard back from Timothy that they were doing great, and their faith was growing, and he's just thankful for them. He's just thankful for them, and it's an endearing kind of message. But in chapter 5, he gives these, there's four or five statements, but I'll give you three, verse 16, 17, 18. They're three of the shortest verses in the Bible. Verse 16, and you know, you've been told when you ever hear these words always and everything, and you have to be skeptical, you know what I mean? So verse 16 says this, two-word verse, rejoice always. How you doing with that?
Huh.
I'm not perfect either. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Huh. So Lord, those seem impossible. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything. God, I live in America. I have free speech. Can't I complain a little bit? He says, in everything, give thanks. Lord, how are we supposed to do that? Let me give a couple suggestions here. I had to think about this. I had to think about this. My mom is down doing preschool. I needed my mom for this illustration really bad. But my mom, if you get around my mom and you ask her to borrow $5, she never has $5 in her purse. I don't know why she carries a purse. She might have a buck or two in her purse. One day, she had $20 in her purse. And my dad said, how'd you get so rich? He said, how'd you get that $20? And now, so my mom, she drives. She hates to drive. My dad does all the driving. And they're retired, so they can do that. The rest of us have to go places. We need cars. We need whatever. We got to go places. My mom never has any money. I can never get any money off my mom. And I think about, why doesn't she carry some money in her? So I should carry some cash. And she probably got one of those cards or something like that. But
charge card.
Oh yeah, she got a charge card. Okay, but don't mess up my illustration here. Okay. So there's a reason my mom never has to carry cash. You know why? Because he takes care of everything. Anything she needs, she knows she doesn't have to take care of cash. She doesn't have to drive the car because he's going to take care of everything. You know what? She rejoices a lot. And she can give thanks in a lot of things because he's taking care of everything. So guess what in our life? If we realize that he's taking care of everything, guess what? We can rejoice a little bit more. If we recognize that we can give thanks for everything because if the Father upstairs is going to take care of us, guess what? We can rejoice because he's going to take care of us. We can rejoice and be thankful because he's taking care of us. Oh, we have a little thing we don't know what to do or how to pay for this or that. I get that. But if we just have this attitude, the Father above is taking care of everything. Just be a little like my mom, okay? Realize he's saying, and guess what? If we'll recognize that dependency, that the Father is taking care of, yeah, we have to go do our jobs. Yeah, we're thankful for our paychecks. We're thankful. But I mean, ultimately, if we can rest, we can rejoice in him if he's going to take care of everything. How many of you are glad that you got a Father up in heaven that's going to take care of everything for you? Thanks for enduring my crazy illustration. Dad, you almost messed it up. Okay? Let me end with this illustration. I was thinking about this Thanksgiving U-turn, about this man who went and he returned to Jesus and he said, thank you. As I was praying about this early in a couple weeks ago when I was thinking about this message, this is the thought the Holy Spirit brought to my heart. Is there some of you in this room that have the potential to have a life that you're not aware of? There's some of you, if you can catch the spirit of this message, that there's a whole new life under your life. Because if we think about it in our lives, our tendency at times is to complain, is to grumble, is to gripe. And thank God, aren't you glad that God still loves us when we do that? I don't want to mess anybody up here. Okay, aren't you glad that he still loves us, even when we do? We're human. He knows it. He gets us. He made us. And he's very forgiving and loving and merciful. But if we spend the outlook of our life, our daily life, on negative things, what we're upset about, what we're bitter about, what we're mad about, what we're frustrated about. How many know there's people that live life that way? Okay, and don't point to anybody, okay? You can shake your hand, you hear what I'm saying, but don't point to anybody, all right? People in life just live with that mentality. Everything's negative. It's not going to work out. It's not going to come together. I'm mad at this person. Oh man, I was in one of these situations a week ago. Oh, this person did this, this family member. I just get me out of here. And so, but we can live with that perspective. There's some of you in this room right now that maybe are bitter over something that happened in your life. Maybe you're holding on to some grudge. There's something crazy going on in your heart and mind right now. I want to tell you, if you would recognize this morning, there is a life under your life. If you would take whatever that is and make a U-turn, and you would say, I'm going to turn and I'm going to be thankful for all the blessings that God has given me. You could just go home and start writing them down on a piece of paper. Everything. You could spend all afternoon, skip the Packers and the San Francisco 49ers game tonight, and just say, I'm going to write everything I'm thankful for until my fingers are bleeding. There's a new life under your life. Because see, you can live in that junk, the stuff that's happened to you, you can live it, or you can make a U-turn and say, I'm going to live in all the blessings, the thankfulness, the gratefulness, all the stuff I've got, all the relationships I have. How anybody thankful the relationships you have? Now, Sue and I were thinking about that. We've lived in Green Bay 19 years, minus two that we're in Colorado. And we're so thankful for the relationships we have over all these years. We've been in one place. We go everywhere. We're out to the restaurant Monday night with our neighbors. Sue's taught a couple kids, and they were sitting in the neighbor next to us, and two of her former students come up and give her a big hug at the table. We're thankful for the relationships that we have with all of you. But thankfulness. I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a life under your life. If you've been living in all of that garbage, leave it. I'm going to give you another suggestion in a moment. And say, I'm going to make a Thanksgiving U-turn, and I'm going to turn, and I'm going to look at all the things I'm thankful for. This one guy in this passage of Scripture, the others went on. Now, here's what happened. Listen to this. They were physically healed, all 10 of them. But the Bible says, Jesus, verse 19, he looks at this one man, and he says, your faith has made you well. Now, listen to this. Bible scholars say that word well is that your faith has saved you. He didn't just, all the others had a physical healing. He had a physical healing. But when he turned and went back to Jesus, he had a new life. And I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is here to give you a new life if you walk in it. It's a life of thanksgiving. It's a life of looking at the blessings and not the problems. We all have problems, but it's where you're going to spend your time and energy. Now, here's what my suggestion is, and I'm going to end with this. I do a few funerals in my life. I've done a few, many. You've been to a few funerals. Not a lot of people go out to the cemetery. Some people go out to the cemetery. It's usually family members. It's a few people. But there's something in most cemeteries I've been to, they all have they have different configurations. But at some point, when I get out to the gravesite and we put the person down in the grave, I got to go get back in my car, and I got to make a U-turn with my car, and I got to get out of that cemetery. Here's what I was praying about this. There's some of you in this room that need to visit that cemetery and let some garbage in your life die, and you need to bury it and never let it come up again, and you need to make the U-turn in that cemetery, leave this stuff there, and you need to walk out and drive out of that cemetery into new life. Make the Thanksgiving U-turn. This foreigner, this Samaritan, he did it. And he turned to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, your faith has made you well. In other words, he was saying, your faith has saved your life. Can I tell you what? Some of you, there's a life underneath your life. I want to invite you to it today. The Holy Spirit's here to draw you to that life, a life of thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, right? We slip up and get frustrated, and that those things are going to happen. They're going to happen. Don't beat yourself up over it. But live in the thanksgiving of God. Live in the blessings. Live in the mercy of God. Live in the kindness of God. Live in the grace of God. I love that song, Pastor Chris, that Courtney and you guys led us in, the goodness of God. Oh, he's been, how many of you in this room, he's been faithful to you? Raise your hand right now. He's been faithful to you. Oh, he's been faithful to me. But you know, think about the problems you've been through. Haven't you learned lessons through the problems you've been through? Haven't you learned things that, you look back on some of the garbage you've been through, you think, man, I learned some valuable lessons through those things. And I didn't like going through that, but it was worth going through because I'm a better person. I'm a more loving person. I'm a more grace-filled person because of what I've gone through. There's some of you that have, there's trials in front of us all. What attitude do we have? We can thank God that, you know what, he's given you the smarts already to navigate the problems that you're going to face in front of you. You think about the very act of communion. If you were to look at the passage in Luke 22 where Jesus is serving the disciples communion, what did he do before he went through the crucifixion? What did he do before he went? He took the bread and he cut the cup in front of the disciples and he lifted it up and what did he do? He gave thanks even before he went through the trial. He gave thanks. He was going to go through it. But there was a resurrection on the other side of that. It's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different place to live. It's a new life unto your life. Make the Thanksgiving U-turn today. Let's stand together this morning.